You're fat. Don't sugarcoat it because you'll eat that too. That's great. All right. Good morning. It's Wednesday. Chris Forrest is with us. We're having a fun time talking complete nonsense. We jumped around from
all the important issues like chlamydia at the old age homes.
Big time. We've covered the gamut, actually.
It's all there.
All right. So we've got a couple of things to get into in the next while. I wanted to know your thoughts on, have you, because you got kids, have you at all been tempted to take them to see the new Disney Snow White, which is very controversial, apparently?
I haven't, but I am now. I didn't even, that's the problem with kids is you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. And,
but normally what, so kids are very different today to when we grew up, obviously, because if there's a movie they want to see, they'll normally see like a million previews on KidsTube because they're not allowed to watch YouTube.
Obviously. Oh, good. How do you keep them? Is there an app or is there some, how do you work that?
Literally is an app. So they've when we upgrade tablets or whatever, they get the old ones.
Okay.
So
and it has like a limited.
So we limit their viewing time.
Okay.
Yeah, responsible parenting, everyone.
No, this is really important because I don't know how this works, and I think it's a minefield for a parent.
No, because it's crazy. Like, because you never. Since I've become a parent, I judge other parents very harshly.
Sure.
I've become that judgy guy.
Okay.
Because people say, like my kids aren't allowed the tablets during the week.
Mm.
And even on the weekend, it's only certain hours that they're allowed.
But when they get that tablet, they love it.
Oh, no, it's they're like, completely zoned in.
You can see
in on
they become like a drug addict when they're taking, right?
Literally. Literally, yeah. And they cry if they can't. But but friends of mine have said to me, how do you get your children to not be on their tablets? I was just saying, well, I tell them, don't be on your tablet.
Yeah.
But anyway, but they've got KidsTube, so they're not allowed to have YouTube. KidsTube is a separate app,
okay.
But it's obviously not got adult content on.
And there isn't a browser on there that they can circumvent your KidsTube on.
Probably could if they wanted to, but
they'll find a way eventually.
I mean, they, but I mean, KidsTube's enough. Mostly what
okay,
they watch
so KidsTube,
is,
what kind of shit do they have on there?
So a fair chunk of it would be watching other people play games.
Oh, like Twitch type stuff. Yeah.
So like watching like a guy will be playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then it's very annoying for me because obviously they've been trained that you can't have silence. So they fill that silence with the words, oh my gosh.
Oh,
it's like,
no,
so I'm going down the passage and look to my right. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And you're like, really? But anyway,
yeah.
There's also things like, hey, check out this new movie coming out.
Okay. So they'll know everything about the movie and they'll be on your case to go
yeah,
and see
we
it.
We want to go see it because everyone's right. Talking about it, especially like there's other things like Roblox.
Yeah.
Where, oh, what a scam. Jeepers, whoever invented that is a genius because you pay if you buy Robux that you spend in your Roblox or whatever it is. And then my kids are like, I want Robux for Christmas. And I'm like, no, because that's stupid. but their friends get it. Their friends' parents.
No, I admire you for not falling for that crap with your kids. Well done. I mean, it's a... You don't need my fucking congratulations, but your kids will be much happier for it. They'll be much better people.
I hope so.
Well, don't you remember when we were kids? Our parents would always say things like, yo, well, just because your friends are doing that doesn't mean you have to, right?
My parents were like, go and get some friends, Chris. You're very tragic here. Why do you?
No, but you've got kids now. Their parents at the age of 7 or 8 are giving them cell phones. With full internet
and
capability.
I'll tell you, the cell phones are dodge.
Yeah.
Like there's a thing, the cyberbullying is real.
Yes, yeah.
Like there was a video that came out from the kids' school. It was a birthday party where the one person didn't come and the kid whose birthday party it was made a video and you got everyone at the party to say how much they hated this other person.
Oh, that's horrific.
And then she finished it with, she's like, you're so stupid. You can't even get dick. You can't. You have to get pussy because you can't get. You can't even get pussy, and you can't get dick. I was like, this kid is. She was like 9 at the time.
What a horrible little evil devil woman.
Oh, exactly. And you're like, you're 9.
What are those parents like?
Well,
don't you wonder?
I got shouted at for saying this by my sister. But I was like, if that had to be sent to my kid, I would go and punch that kid's dad. Like, because you can't punch a kid.
Yeah, you can take it out on the parents, though.
But what a horrible...
But, you know, they say that, for example, with girls in particular, the cyberbullying is horrific. Because, you know, guys will... They'll fight it out, and then they'll be fine. A couple of days later, they'll
punch each other, and then you're over it.
They'll get over it. No, but girls build up a massive resentment.
They will hurt and an ugliness. They will scar you for life.
Yeah, they will. And they will get you at home. They'll get you while you're at school. They'll get you everywhere.
No, but that's why I think it's important.
It's reputational with a girl.
You have to, like, teach your kids good comebacks, basically.
Well, they've got a great teacher in you having, you know, you know how to deal with hecklers.
I joked about it. So my one kid's got a disease called mastocytosis.
What is that?
It is where your body produces... it's your histamine cells go into overdrive.
Oh, so it's an allergic reaction on steroids.
Well, basically it manifests in spots on her body. Right. So I've actually, we're quite proud of the fact we've taught her to be proud of her spots.
Okay.
So she owns
it. Does it just randomly occur?
No, it's constant.
Oh, so it's always
there. She's got these spots all over. And it was funny already.
Red spots?
Brown spots.
Oh, wow.
When they flare up, especially when it's hot, then they go red.
Okay.
It's a very rare disease. Most of the doctors don't even know about it.
Shit.
But like we would go, like when we took her to Sandton City to see Paw Patrol or whatever, I saw a woman grab her kids and pull them away from my
thinking it was like.
And then she came to me, this woman, this is true. She said to me, she looked at my kid. She said, is that infectious? And obviously I said, yes, I just hate children. That's why I brought her here. She wasn't sure if I was joking or not, which made me enjoy it even more. But so I was worried. I was worried that she's going to get teased because of her spots. Turns out she's the belle of the ball. She's
okay. That's
but
good.
So I said to her, if anyone ever says, ha, you got spots, what you got to do is say, yes, but at least my parents aren't getting divorced. And I think that's fair, you know, because, I mean, at least the kid will have something to think about.
I love that. Yeah, that's terrific. kids are horrible to each other, though.
I'd love to say I was horrible to other kids, but I wasn't. I think that's where you learn that stereotypical, I'm a comedian, I'm a bullied. I didn't really get bullied, though.
Well, I mean, people think twice now, and they should, about heckling comedians. There was a stage where it became a thing that people used to do.
I would say the opposite, especially not so much the older crowds. Because you get those guys who want to be part of the show.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, I'm going to say this stuff. And then,
usually they're drunk.
Usually they're drunk and stupid. Or they're the, like, office clown, especially at corporate functions.
Oh, God.
Where it's the funny guy who's threatened by you. And
okay, yeah.
And there was a gig in, it was in Florida. And this guy, he didn't realize I was one of the comedians because the person who's, long story, sorry, we don't have much time. But the guy who was running the gig, his sound guy dropped him. So he asked me to help out because I've got a sound system. So I was setting it up. And then I just heard this guy, yeah, last time I was at a gig, I guarded the comedians and da 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 da. Okay. And I didn't say anything to any of the comic.
Yeah.
But every single one of them just nailed this dude.
Yeah, well, he probably was looking for it.
And he just looked like such a toss. But
But do you think it's older or younger people?
What I find with younger people, we were talking about it earlier, younger people feel like they have to comment on stuff.
Mm.
Not realizing this is just a show and watch it. You don't need to tell me if I'm talking about going to the shops to buy a lint. You don't need to tell me what your favorite chocolate is. Just shut up and enjoy it.
Yeah. But it's also this me also. Me. Yeah. I've got to be included.
Yeah.
This is the bullshit that happened post 1999, I suppose. I did want to bring up the Snow White movie, though, because I love that we went on a tangent because most people couldn't give a shit about the Snow White movie. I couldn't. I'm not going to go and see it, but it's getting an enormous amount of attention because apparently, so when they started off, Snow White is Rachel Zegler.
Mm-hmm.
Just put up the picture quickly of Rachel. So she's not the fairest of them all. I mean, look at that picture. She looks like
That's probably not the most flattering picture of her
either. That's in the movie. So they could have edited that particular freeze frame out. I mean,
right.
She looks like a potato. That's not Snow White. Snow White's meant to be beautiful. She's meant to be so beautiful that the evil queen, who's beautiful, is jealous of her.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Right.
Now I don't want to ruin the ending for anyone.
Now, well, the point is they ruin the whole story. They change the story. Now, there are a couple of things that make a fairy tale great. There's some moral lesson. There's some social cues that are dropped in there. The reason fairy tales have lasted as long as they have is because there are truths built into them.
Yes. But Disney makes our fairy. Have you ever read the original Little Mermaid? But let's carry on about.
No, I've got you. Like they were much more dark. I mean, I grew up with Struwwelpeter, which is a whole other. You don't know about that?
Is the lesson that you shouldn't invade Poland? Or no?
No, I'll tell you about Struwwelpeter just now. I'm about to make your day. In fact, your kids are not even. They're not even too old to enjoy a little Struwwelpeter themselves.
Ah, good.
Okay, so. In Snow White, there are a couple of things that are part of the story. You know, like the queen mother, the evil queen, she's jealous of Snow White because Snow White's so pretty and so happy. And evil queen is like getting old and she's not as pretty. And she's jealous of the king's relationship with Snow White. Mm-hmm. And then there are the seven dwarves who are these hardworking guys. So they cut out the seven dwarves in the Disney
That's quite an important...
Well, you would think, right? Like, there are only so many jobs in Hollywood for dwarves, but exactly. They cut them out.
Are you still allowed to call them dwarves?
This is the point. So someone got involved and said, oh, no, it's very politically incorrect to call them dwarves. So we're going to make them seven mythical creatures. Anyway, it was a disaster. And before the movie had even come out, they had to go back and reshoot the whole thing with the dwarves because they had to put dwarves back in. People were outraged, like, dwarves were outraged. They were like,
obviously, that's discrimination by exclusion.
Sure. And there were seven spots available for the dwarves. And that never happens in Hollywood.
They haven't had this much work since Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Exactly. Or Game of Thrones, which is only one guy. Yeah. This is seven opportunities for dwarves. This is a big dwarf opportunity.
And was he part of that? I mean, because
I don't think so. I mean, he might have been the one who moaned about it. But then after that, they changed Snow White to be this. Now, the whole point with Snow White is she's Snow White because she's got skin that is Snow White.
Yes.
But they come up with this other story because they want to cast a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
So they come up with this other story that, no, there was this big snowstorm in the night she was born. It's just bullshit. It's like really badly written. You can see it's some millennial who's just been tasked with this, or it's AI that's generated the script. It's just so bad. All right. There's no creativity. The original story's completely lost its meaning. Gal Gadot, who is Wonder Woman, is the evil queen, and she's way hotter. Just bring the coffee here. Look at Gal Gadot. So this is my point, right? Snow White on the left looks like she's been squeezed out of a toothpaste tube. And then you got Gal Gadot, who's fucking hot but can't act, on the right. She's the evil queen. Okay, so this to me is just very bad decision-making all the way down the chain. And it's been received very badly because every time they interview Rachel Zegler, Rachel Zegler, I don't know what her fucking name is. Every time they interview her about the movie, she starts laying into how I don't need no prince. I'm a boss, girl boss. And she's missed the whole point of Snow White because she's trying also to bring her politics into. She's big on like Palestinian freedom. You know, this whole thing of young people who want to tell you what they think the whole time. Just shut up and play Snow White.
Just what you paid to do.
Your ass has landed in the butter, honey. And all you can do is complain about the politics outside of your movie and how you want to be a girl boss. No one gives a shit. So basically, she was a massive liability to Disney. I don't know why, but they should have just said to her as part of her contract, shut the fuck up.
Because, I mean, Snow White as a movie, if we look at the lessons. Firstly, the dwarves.
Well, don't eat an apple from a strange old witch.
There's that. Well, I mean, look at there's a
I
lot
remember
of
that.
Weird stuff in it. The dwarves are all on drugs. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. I can't remember who told
me
about this.
Hi ho,
hi ho, hi ho.
It's off to work we go.
But there's the grumpies on crack. Dopey, obviously, he's on the weed.
Oh right.
Oh,
look at this.
What are the seven dwarves?
There's Happy.
Happy.
Happy's cocaine.
Happy's or ecstasy.
Or ecstasy, MDMA, yeah.
There's Sneezy, I would say, might be.
Sneeze.
Is there a sneezy?
He's on antihistamines. I don't think there was a sneezy.
But then how weird is this? Like a prince finds this chick sleeping and he starts
molesting her.
Molesting her.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up and goes, well, fair enough.
You're a prince.
You're a prince. Let's get married.
Yeah.
So I used to read these stories to my kids. This is true. And I would change the endings.
Oh, no.
No, because, I mean, the princess, the prince gets a bit sort of rapey with Snow White.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up and then they fall in love and get married. So I used to be like, okay, the prince's men woke the princess up, or Snow White or whatever it would be. And then they dated for a while and she decided whether or not she liked the guy. And then they decided that they had a lot in common. So after 3 years, they eventually got married. Which I think is a far better message to send.
I think you're worse than Disney. I think you've screwed this up. By the way,
no, because then your daughter's go, oh, okay, I'm just going to meet a dude and fall in love and marry him. Well, but then he turns out to be a psychopath who date rapes sleeping woman.
I'm sorry, girls will figure out their own fairy tales with or without Disney and with or without their dad or mom telling them stories. Most of the girls I know who live in perpetual disappointment are girls who grew up with a fantasy of falling in love and getting married and all of the things being perfect and the birds chirping like they do in Snow White.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
The little antelope coming up and licking a sugar cube off her palm.
So what you're saying is I should have actually gone, the prince woke up and kissed her, but it turns out he was a narcissistic dickhead.
Yeah, and then she dumped him.
And she stabbed him.
She stabbed him with a knife hidden in her stocking.
And then she pursued a career in acting.
Well,
where she got to share her views on Palestine.
Exactly. So, no, the antidote to fairy tales is not to change the fairy tales, because they are dark. There is a dark element to Brothers Grimm, for God's sake. Brothers Grimm, and I'll tell you about Struwwelpeter just now. I know you can't wait. But Disney had this great IP. I mean, the original Snow White, it's dated. It looks very grainy and old. It's not as colorful as modern cartoons are, as fast moving, and they had to draw each one of those, you know, which is a remarkable thing. But I think the original Snow White with hi-ho, hi-ho, and they had good music. I mean, the songs in this thing are also apparently, again, I haven't seen it, but apparently people are saying it's just shit from top to bottom. Why would they take their own IP, which is this movie from whatever it was, the 80s, the 70s, who knows when they made Snow White? But they take that and they ruin it. They throw it away.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, right? Also it's made like you've got a good property here and now you want to piss all over it.
They've made their own new fairy tales, which are really good and do the values that probably...
But like Moana.
Million times and I'm not exaggerating. This
would be like them taking Moana in 30 years from now.
Yes.
And making it whatever the politics of that time would... A good story is a good story.
Yes, and Moana ticks boxes. It's a girl who doesn't necessarily have a perfect body shape. She's a girl of color.
Hmm.
She finds her own destiny.
That's a very
she
null
doesn't
story.
Have to listen yeah. to. Yeah. She makes her own, and it's cool. And the kids love it. As I say, they love it too much because I've watched that movie a lot.
Yeah, but it's very now. It couldn't have been made at any other time. And that Snow White, the original Snow White, which God knows who when it was written. Was all about princes and being rescued and witches with apples and story.
Don't eat the apple given to you by the stranger. I mean, did they at least spike a drink in a bar in this one?
Well, you seem to think that all of Snow White is just drugs.
I think it is. We started going through because Sleepy's obviously what is he's on
Sleepy's
like ketamine or whatever.
Is it Dormic?
Doc is the guy who supplies
I'll give you all. I'll give you the dwarves and you tell me what drugs they're on. All right.
Right.
Okay, 7 dwarves' names. Here we go. All right, they're Doc.
Doc.
He's the one who prescribes for everybody.
I think he's the dealer.
So he's the dealer. Grumpy?
Grumpy is crack, obviously.
Yeah, but afterwards.
Or in South African terms, tuk.
Tuk. Okay, happy?
Happy would be ecstasy.
MDMA, okay. Sleepy? Dormicum.
Sleepy, Dormicum.
Bashful. Yeah.
Bashful. That's
What's
a
bashful because that's that. I don't know if that can be a drug. Maybe he's the only one who's not on drugs.
Possibly. Well, let's come back. If anybody knows what narcotics bashful would be on.
Okay. Sneezy.
Sneezy. You said antihistamines. I think he might have been sniffing a little bit.
And dopey. Dopey, you say, is weed.
Dopey's weed.
I don't think you're that wrong. I think that there could be, you know, there's always an argument that A.A. Milne, who did Winnie the Pooh, also gave all of those characters mental disorders. No. So Eeyore is depression. Eeyore is the
yeah.
What would you call him? The simulacrum for depression.
Yes.
Tigger is manic. Mania. Mm-hmm.
The bunny.
Piglet is paranoia. He's neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
He's a paranoid. What is it? He's constantly nervous, a huge amount of nervous energy there. And then the bunny is...
He's very angry. Like if you read the...
Yeah, the bunny is...
Kills people and stuff.
Something else. But he wrote, apparently, this is what people say, there's surmise from this. We don't know whether that was A.A. Milne's intention, but clearly he ascribed these personality and mental health characteristics to the characters, so that they would represent this for all the people who were reading them. And for kids, would actually help them to feel that they were normal.
And Christopher Robin was just like a sort of delusional schizophrenic. He imagined that his teddy bear was talking to him.
Well, the story of that is apparently also that it was post-war, post-World War I, and that it was a way for people who were having post-traumatic stress disorder to connect with some inanimate object, either while they were at war or in their return, so that they could have a conversation about their post-traumatic stress disorder and they wouldn't be all alone. Again, these are conjectural, right? I don't know. My antidote for the fairy tales that were too dark was Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes.
Yes.
And his fairy tales, which were hilarious.
They were brilliant.
Very lavatorial, very silly,
but
characters.
It was normal in those days to be dark. Like, did you ever read the original Beatrix Potters?
No.
They kill people and stuff. It's
really?
Awesome. Yeah. I thought it would be fun to read to my
sweet
kids.
And rabbits and...
The rabbit gets stuck in the one dude's hole, and then the guy tries to kill him so he can cook him, and then the other...
Oh Jesus.
Wonderful. She must have been a bit
nuts.
That's
horrific.
As well.
Okay, so I will tell you about Struwwelpeter.
This Struwwelpeter, yes, I've been waiting.
Right, so Struwwelpeter is basically a disheveled Peter. Right? He's a kid, right, who doesn't cut his nails, he doesn't wash his hair, he's greasy, he's dirty. His mother keeps admonishing him, Struwwelpeter, you must, this is all in German, I'm not going to do the German, but you must tidy yourself up, you filthy little shit, and one day something terrible is going to happen to you. And the long and the short of it is, again, I hate spoiling the ending, but apparently his hair catches fire because it's greasy and disgusting. Mm-hmm. He tries to put it out, but because he doesn't trim his nails and doesn't wash his hands, while he's trying to put it out, he claws his eyes out.
Yeah.
He scratches himself to death. There's Struwwelpeter, look, with his long nails. You've got to read this to your kids. You know what it did? I have never, ever had filthy nails.
Long hair.
I always trimmed. I wash my hair every day. I tell you what, it puts the fear of God into you. And as a kid, sometimes fear is a greater motivator than ambition or love or care or tenderness. Sometimes the fear of scratching your own eyes out because you've got long nails and you haven't washed your hair keeps you clean. I'm just thinking, not the worst fairy tale for my parents to have given me at the impressionable age. And there's a whole bunch of other stories with Struwwelpeter, which are very disturbing.
That it sounds disturbing.
Yeah, you should really take a look.
Totally going to read that to my kids.
Well, if you can find it, because it's probably banned.
No.
It's probably banned. I'm telling you, some of those stories will frighten the hell out of you. So there we go. Anyway, now we've had our rant about just put Rachel Zegler on again. I just want to...
About Snow White.
Yes. Yo, that can't be the prettiest, the fairest of them all. Because she goes, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? That's what the Wicked Queen says, right? And then that face pitches up. I don't buy it.
Who did they cast in the rest of the roles beside the Queen?
They must have all been hideously ugly to make Rachel Zegler seem like she's hot. I mean, that, you know, the dwarves, they're not going to be good looking because they're dwarves.
Well, you there are, every pot has its lid. So there are people who might. I'm okay with that. If your fetish is dwarves, go for it.
But the other thing that bugs me about the Snow White story, since we're on this, you can tell you and I have thought about this stuff rather a lot, and long before this movie, by the way. When you read these stories to your kids, though, you can't help thinking, well, what does this mean as an adult? Because you don't read, you don't reread things that you read as a kid when you're an adult. Very seldom. It's like you don't watch TV series that were big when we were kids, because it's always very depressing, because you look
disappointing.
At the special effects are shit. The plot's really lame.
Have you watched The A-Team?
I lived so and bad, breathed but I A-Team. Loved it, dude. When I was a kid, shoot. I used to love it. But if I watch it now, I want to die of embarrassment.
Yeah, like they shot machine guns and they never hit anyone.
Yeah, and whenever there was an accident, the people got out of the car afterwards to prove they weren't dead. Because you can't have that.
It's
very bad for kids to watch this. You know, blood, head cut off. You know, where real accidents happen. I suppose that's why so many people rubberneck on the fucking highway. They grew up on A-teams. They've never seen a dead body. The point is that with these fairy tales, you do realize that some of it doesn't make sense either. Like with the dwarves, they go to work for Snow White. They go to work to bring home the gold, and then she has cleaned the house for them.
Yes.
Remember, that was the whole story.
So basically, did that all beds. Properly in the friend zone.
Well, no, but she's made their beds. She's tidied the house. No, she's not interested in fucking a dwarf.
You never know.
That, come on.
That could have made
she's
an interesting
no fucking
addition.
White. I mean, if the evil queen came there and said, right,
she
let's have a dwarf orgy.
She still has needs.
But that's the evil queen. Snow White meant to be represent virginal purity, all that stuff too. All right, there's symbolism going on here, but the point is, in this Rachel Zegler version, this Disney thing that they've this abortion, which by the way had like 4 viewers the whole weekend at the box office, has been an unmitigated disaster. They spent 200 and something million on it, and I think they've made 40 million so far. And if you don't equal out at opening weekend, you're a disaster. It's not going to work. By the way, anyone who thinks now we're going too deep into this, I can't help but when I'm sitting with someone like Chris talking about something and actually getting into the nuts and bolts of these things, because most people don't. Everything's superficial. It's like, oh yeah, apparently the new Snow White's very woke and stupid. But here we are going into it. So in this new version, again, this is some of the criticism I've read and heard about it. I have no interest in going to see this movie. Moreover, because of the fact that they've changed that whole narrative, she gets to the dwarf house or whatever. She doesn't clean it. They do the cleaning and the cooking, and they like, she's the girl boss.
Yeah.
Again, like that doesn't make sense. These poor fuckers have been working in the mine the whole day.
But we've all been there.
They're
going to
get home, and Snow White's like, well, why haven't you done the dishes yet, you little fucks?
We've been there with that one,
you know?
Like depending on your vibe, but like that one lady who offers you a glimmer of punani and then you'll do anything for her.
She's like that.
You're never going to get in there, but you just like,
are you saying that's what she's,
that's of course what she's doing. Well, maybe like it's a lesson for like not necessarily good looking men out there that are represented in this case by dwarves. You're not getting in there. Just find another dwarf chick, man.
Oh, that's fantastic. So those guys, do you represent ordinary oaks who are not going to get laid?
You see these guys, and then she's gone to them, and she'd be like, you know why I can bone the prince is because you guys made me trust men. You're such a good friend,
Dopey.
You get
a totally different lesson out of this than everyone else. I love it. Oh, I love it. That's great. All right. So I think the end result is don't bother with this one for the kids.
Don't bother with this one. But I'm thinking about, because now you mentioned there is a movie that my kids loved, which is also like a complete retake on everything. Did you watch Wicked?
No.
So Wicked, you know that.
No, they made a movie from the musical or something.
Yeah, but
like
it kind of.
But it comes off it's a spin-off of The Wizard of Oz, right?
It is The Wizard of Oz.
I can see someone in the audience going, oh no, we've just spent half an hour on Snow White. Now we're going to go into Wicked. No,
you know that Gareth Cliffy used to be all about politics. He spoke about children's fairy tales with with Chris Forrest. It's not my fault. Terrible. I didn't bring it up.
Just, I got to throw this in. Carl DeSantis says in the comments, it's like Anglo Gold. These fuckers work so hard and get minimum wage, and then they wash the dishes when they get home.
It's very similar. Very similar. But they're kind of in Wicked. They make the evil queen in The Wizard of Oz. They make her to be the victim, which I found interesting. Oh,
you see, don't. She's green.
She's green. She is.
She was the one who went, right? In the, you're not meant to like her.
But
stop humanizing. It's like when they took in the last Rings of Power thing. What is it? Not Game of Thrones. It's Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
So in Rings of Power, the new series, they humanize these orcs. They've got the orc with an orc baby feeding her on the orc baby on the tit in the background of an orc village. We don't want to see orcs being, there need to be bad creatures in Middle Earth that are just automatons that just do what Sauron says, kill these people.
Yes.
And the orcs just swarm in and kill people. They're horrible things, orcs. Don't humanize the orc. Don't make the evil queen the good one. These people have forgotten how to tell stories. Kids like good, bad. They want good to win over bad. Okay, just keep it fucking simple. Why are they complicating this stuff?
Because they want everyone to be accepted.
That's the problem. We don't want orcs. You want to live next everyone, door to an orc?
And then you end up with a corrupt government. What the hell?
Orcs are in the first Lord of the Rings. They're the ones that go, they look fresh. Oh, he doesn't need his legs. They're going to eat the fucking hobbit while it's still alive. Now in this new series, they are humanized. They're like, oh, I'm just going to tit feed my orc baby. Just don't kill us all. Please don't send us all to war.
We've got to go mine and then look after Snow White tonight.
What about my husband if he dies at war? How am I going to feed the baby orc? You don't want this. Stop it.
It was Orson Powers who did that thing with the evil henchman that gets shot and then it's the kid's birthday party. It's like, daddy's coming home for my birthday. No, he got shot.
He's an evil henchman. No, please. You got to have some bad people in these. They've displaced magical creatures, Gareth. Calling them orcs is racist and Gondor is an apartheid state. Make your children watch it. They will learn a valuable lesson about not trusting clowns.
I think that's an important lesson.
No, I've never trusted clowns. How to be a Hollywood creative today, says Gift. Number one, pick some old franchise with a loyal fan base. Two, remake it but remove everything that once made it popular. That seems to be their modus operandi. In fact, Bob Iger, who runs Disney, who I used to think was obviously a very smart guy, is clearly not.
Well, I mean,
if they're not making money. They're actually in big trouble, Disney.
All the movie sort of big studios have had to rethink their ways. Like if it wasn't for the superhero movies would be dead.
It's big time, right? Vyasin says the dwarves were Snow White's blessers.
Correct.
Bring back horrific fables. Traumatize your children so they can't be functional humans. So they can be, says Congo Chris, okay. Rammstein's Snow White version is way better, says High Octane Hendrik. Enid Blyton, someone brought up. Oh, there we go. There's
Enid Blyton. That's, oh my word!
That's how Disney should have cast Snow White. Samuel L. Jackson.
Did you ever read Enid Blyton in your adulthood though?
No, of course not.
There was I think it was a Faraway Tree. The lead characters,
yeah,
are called Dick and Fanny. I swear. I think they changed them in later versions or like
Magic
later
Faraway Tree.
The characters when I
Dick
read
and
it.
Dick and Fanny.
And I'm juvenile, so I thought it was hilarious.
Laughing.
Dick and Fanny. What was she thinking?
And Enid Blyton, there was Noddy, Big Ears.
Big Ears.
I mean, Big Ears. That would never go
down.
That
is totes body shaming.
Yeah, in 2025.
What do they call him now?
There's Noddy Big Ears, Mr. Plod.
Mr. Plod's the policeman.
Policeman.
We're not even going to get into the
gollywogs. No, because defund the police, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then my favorite joke of all time. Do you know why Noddy has a bell in his hat?
No.
Because he's a doers.
I never really got into Noddy. I didn't really understand Noddy. I loved Asterix.
Asterix is a great one. I loved it.
Asterix taught me all about racial prejudice,
steroids,
stereotyping,
yes.
And steroid. No, stereotyping. I mean, the magic potion was clearly a steroid combo yeah. with again drugs. You're on a mission.
The
here.
Belgians, the Belgians were my favorite. Asterix, because I read a lot of Asterix. Asterix in Belgium. When they want to fight, they don't take the magic potion. They said, our beer makes us strong. Or they say, our beer is strong enough. So they basically just get shit-faced and then get into a fight.
Which, by the way, is exactly what the Vikings used to do.
I think it's...
They would get completely shit-faced. There was a famous... there was a guy called Gorm the Old.
Yes.
Gorm the Old, who was the grandfather of Svein Forkbeard. Okay, and Gorm the Old, there's a tumulus outside of... what used to be his Danish capital. But they used to get in a long house. You know, they were the sort of Viking hall. Because obviously the whole point was to die in battle. So you could go to Valhalla. And in Valhalla, you'd just be drunk and eating and fighting the whole time. So on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
So these Vikings would just get shit-faced. And then they would beat each other to a pulp and then wake up the next morning, give each other big hugs and go, all right, let's go murder and pillage and rape some English village.
There we go.
Great. I mean, that's the way to go. So the Belgians weren't far off.
They were there. And I mean, the Druid, I love the names that I didn't understand them till later
fix,
on.
Yeah.
Get a fix.
All those names were so clever.
Unhygienics, who sold the fish. Fully Automatics was the man who made the tools.
Blacksmith.
Vital Statistics.
He was the chief.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Romans had such good names. Unfit for Purpose.
Yes.
They were such great
Those
names.
Those guys were smart.
Yeah. There was Goscinny and Uderzo.
Yes.
Two French. Well, Uderzo was the guy who did the drawings here. I think he might have been Italian. But Goscinny was the French author.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that they only gave those names... those very clever names that we were just talking about in the English translations.
Oh, did they not?
Because they weren't in the French versions.
I never knew that.
No. Anyway, so obviously, Asterix was good. I never really got into Tintin, but a lot of people did. Roald Dahl was a big thing.
I think we're in the same WhatsApp group, yeah.
Yeah. And I just think those are vital parts of being a kid. It just gave me all the ammo I needed to laugh at the world rather than be victimized by it.
Have you ever, just this is a like similar but different, have you ever heard about how the government of the day used television to manipulate us?
How? What did they do? Those sons of bitches.
Sons of
I
bitches.
Knew they were manipulating. I knew when Pia Via Buerta came on the TV. I said to my mom once, who's that guy? He had the glasses on
him. The great crocodile.
Hello. On such baya. Donner en met julle, wat julle lyk te gelukkig, en fuck jou, ons gaan julle lewens nog kakker maak, ons gaan al julle cartoons in Afrikaans sit, en jy gaan die fucking translation moet luister op Radio 2000, julle bliksems.
But so,
telling you that's what he used to
it's,
do.
It's because they also said
tell
that,
me what they did.
There was a Interstar. You remember Interstar?
It's like some shitty...
like a stop puppet show,
action.
Basically.
Yeah.
So they made all the like spacemen, the heroes white, and they made all the aliens black.
Oh, did they change it? Because no, I thought they just bought the stuff from overseas and then dubbed it.
No, this was a South African thing. And then,
oh, wow.
Then they also
made the bad guys black, eh?
Yeah. then they did things like the Afrikaans population specifically was with the sort of Calvinist vibe.
Yes.
Was becoming too safe. So there was a lack of people who were willing to take risks in business and innovation, etc.
Yeah, it's conservative.
So, Trompi and he bought some Bender.
That was a TV show.
Yes.
About this kid who had his own little gang.
Well, Box and Bender is a gang.
Right.
So, they made him like naughty, but essentially he was a good kid. And then he would take these naughty risks and then he would get some sort of reward.
Oh, so to teach the Calvinist... conservative Afrikaans kids that you mustn't be too boring.
Yeah, same with Die Swart Kat. There's a whole thing. It was...
So there was psychological manipulation going on. That was the SRBC.
SRIK.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know how they thought of the channel names in those days because it was TV1, TV2, TV3, and... TV, what was the other one? TV 4.
That's right. Yeah, well, that was a complicated thing that you just did. You counted to 4.
Don't you remember? Those are our channels.
Brakanyan was recruitment propaganda for the army, says Congo Chris. That's bullshit, because Brakanyan is basically the Three Musketeers. That's nonsense, Congo Chris.
But there was one called Buti Khan Borda too.
Yeah, which would have been recruitment. Yeah, that's probably true. Oh, geez, I remember the SWAT cut. The baby in Teletubbies looks like Gandhi, says Pumlani.
I know it's on the same theme, but Teletubbies.
I never really understood that telly, because obviously I'm by then I was in my 20s. But
Teletubbies is what happens when you take too much LSD.
Again, the drugs. That's what's convinced.
But, I mean, You did the rave thing, I'm sure, and then
I didn't.
Then you watch Teletubbies when you get home, and you're like, "Wow, this all makes sense suddenly." And they've got televisions in their stomachs, and you can watch a child feeding chickens. It's brilliant.
Congo Chris says Leverhexie was a psyop. You would go with that?
I'm trying to remember.
She was a witch.
My name is Lever, and she had a cat.
Right. She had a cat.
I'm a Davis.
And then who was her friend?
There was a Benny Bookvorm.
You know who made that funny for me was Casper De Vries, because he did a version of it, but it was like adult Leverhexie, but not porno, but it was basically she was just like really mean to her friend, because he was like a bit of a softer, gentle, probably quite effeminate, perhaps gay friend, and she was like,
Davis.
Yeah, and she'd say something horrible to him, but in the Casper De Vries version, she was a real bitch.
I want to see that now.
Leverhexie. Enid Blyton had the Adventurous Five. Five children who went on adventures, real people, not magical characters. They lived on an island by the sea. Well, I mean, another story that I can think of, and maybe we've just gone on for too long about this. You tell me in the comments if you think we're talking shit, but Robinson Crusoe. You know, and The Man in the Iron Mask, and some of those classics, which, thank God, Disney hasn't decided to fuck with, because they'd ruin those as well. I just think that those are great stories. I used to imagine, because this is the point with reading stories,
yeah,
is you have to imagine most of the stuff yourself. And if kids don't grow up, and I'm sure you know this better than anyone else, as a father, as a creative person, as someone who makes people laugh, and you could tell a story. When you see their imagination kick in and they start to fill in bits of the story themselves, that is a superpower. You're raising a kid. If you can raise them with imagination, you're giving them a secret weapon that other kids are not going to have, because they're always going,
that's the thing,
do the imagining for me.
You know? I'm trying to remember her name now, but I used to do a show about being a dad, and I attended a lot of these talks. And this lady was talking about how your brain is so smart that it defaults to lazy.
Mm.
And so if you've got your tablet or whatever there, it exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It imagines and it thinks for you. So kids aren't developing that now, and it's going to be a big problem, because the tablet's thinking for you. You're not going to have those skills.
Yeah. And imagination is probably the thing that is missing.
There was a comedian who did a great thing. I'm going to ruin it completely if anyone ever sees him, about this new chip that you're going to get inserted in your brain for movies. And in this, you can create your own movies where you're the star. And his name's Tommy Tien, and it was like an hour-long one-man show.
Yeah.
And he builds this thing up about, and you can decide. And you're like really getting into this technology where that can be inserted in your brain, and you can decide on the storyline and the movie and whatever. But he does it very cleverly, not kind of like I'm doing it now. And then at the end, he goes, a bit like your imagination.
Yes, exactly.
And you're like, wow.
That's fantastic. I know exactly where you're going. I love that. I must see if I can find that, the original kind of telling.
Yes, far better than mine, right?
Well, now. I mean, you've been so self-deprecating about it that I'm probably going to be really thrilled when I see the real thing. Congo Chris says, Leverhexie is a cautionary tale about being a single woman in your 30s. You'll become a cat lady and the roof of your kitchen will fall apart and you won't have a man to fix it.
You don't have any dwarves because you're the witch, not the Snow White.
There's a saying in film, never show the monster, says Grant. Well, I don't know. I've heard a different version of that.
I know. My wife says that to me a lot.
James, you've got some work to do. Get Casper on the show, says Bitcoin Boot. I haven't seen him. Yeah, there's lots of comments about him. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try. He's very hard to manage, hey? So great to catch you live. Normally, I listen to the podcast the next day as the time difference is hard for us Aussies. Shout out from Sydney, says David Sachs. Hey, thanks, David. Carl says, so if we never had books and Bender, we wouldn't have NASPAS. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Not NASPAS.
That was before. NASPAS was before.
NASPAS has been around a long time.
But obviously, that doesn't exist anymore as a publishing business. They don't own any of that stuff anymore.
But I mean, the guy, the genius there was obviously Chris Becker.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mnet.
Yeah.
Mweb.
Yeah.
All of these things.
Genius. And now he's got that.
So he must have watched Trompi.
Yeah. And I've never been there, but this Bobby Lons tour is apparently the most, you as a foodie would want to go there, right? It's their wine farm.
Oh, okay.
Bobby Lons tour, and they also have this incredible organic garden where they grow everything. And they have a little shop where apparently you pay thousands of rands for a little, you know, handful of carrots or whatever. But they have, they've got food scientists who are working there on developing the most incredible new and non-GM versions of kinds of foods. And so I've heard only the most incredible things about Bobby Lons tour. And then he also has a farm in the UK based on the same idea.
Oh, okay.
And apparently it's the number one tourist attraction in the UK at the moment. This organic farming stuff that everybody's so into, and sustainable farming, and this is what they're doing. So he hasn't stopped being a genius, Chris Becker. What was up with Pumpkin Patch, says Pop Tag Agency.
That's a good one. That was very strange.
Yeah.
No, I'm surprised we didn't grab Weirder.
We could have. And then Chris says, Chris Smith, he says, the best was the pterodactyl with the spare teeth on the washing line. What was that show called? It was in Afrikaans.
Spare teeth on the washing
line. Yeah, man, the teeth would sing. And the pterodactyl was called Knarsus.
Knarsus, I remember.
Knarsus, something like that. But then the good character
Knarsus
was like
a dragon, wasn't it?
And the good character was like a spaniel who was a bit sort of doff. And be ho-ho-ho, and he'd come bouncing into the – but it was all puppets.
Yeah.
And the dog would go, hi, everybody. And then this fucking pterodactyl would plot to kill him and eat him. And he was always with a cauldron. You know, like the evil people were so clearly evil. Oscar, there we go. Thank you very much, James. Very good. See if you can find a picture of that Knarsus. He was so obviously evil, but the stupid dog would always go and try and be his friend. Hey, who are you? I'm your friend. Like, eventually I was almost rooting for the fucking pterodactyl.
Just eat the dog,
because this dog is so doof.
But can you imagine
he keeps walking into traps.
Somebody pitched these shows. They were like, hey, guys, I've got an idea for a show.
And this pterodactyl, as I recall, I mean, my memory's hazy, but this is a long time ago. But this pterodactyl would come up with all these harebrained schemes to put the dog in the pot or the rabbit. I don't know, there was a rabbit involved at some point too. And they never got eaten. Just very, like, this poor thing must have been so hungry.
Yeah. We need to rewrite this so that view of the pterodactyl.
please. Well, there we go. There's the pterodactyl dressed up like a, I don't know, like, Spencer Tracy.
And then
rabbit. That's the rabbit that he was. Look how stupid that rabbit is.
That was SABC budget in the 80s, 70s, whenever it was.
Ay, ay, ay.
TV One.
You guys wouldn't have watched this, huh, as kids? No, you already had like high fucking powered, fancy 3D virtual reality.
You didn't get
high definition
TV shows with songs about how to cross the road.
That you always used to be a lesson.
Yes.
Remember, at the end of any kid's show, there would always be, and that is why you don't trust strangers, or, and that is why you don't cross the road without adult supervision, or that is why you don't shit outside, you shit in the toilet. They would teach you stuff.
And that way you didn't need cuck rules to keep you safe.
Yeah, well, also people would know how to behave because a lot of kids are raised feral, right? So their parents didn't teach them basic things like manners, like, and that is why it's important to say thank you. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of kids who've grown up without those basic instructions from TV series about moral lessons. And that's why they're such little cunts.
Fair enough.
They don't say thank you. They don't know not to shit outside. They don't know that it's, you shouldn't.
They don't even dig a hole first.
How many times are you driving on the road and someone just walks out into it? Now, if they'd seen He-Man,
what about
and Masters of the Universe and been told the lesson of, and children, it's very bad to walk into the street and not have adult supervision.
Take your green tiger with you.
Right. Well, wear the reflective jacket or whatever.
Yeah, Tony Hart taught us that shit.
And who was Tony Hart again?
He was a weird, I met him at a friend's wedding years later and I got all excited. They had the green at the top. Means go. I don't remember the song. Red at the bottom means stop. Don't you know?
Oh, he wrote a song?
Hard Across the Road. Danny Catch. See? Genius. Look left and right.
There we go.
I learned these things. Still remember these lessons.
Okay. Lots of people here getting very, very nostalgic.
Nostalgia. What a great.
Fatal Attraction. Hastas and Niskas.
That was
Smurfs. Smurfs, that was weird too.
Can we talk about Smurfette for a bit?
Okay, yeah. So Adam says, Smurfs, a whole village of male Smurfs, one old Smurf, and only one female Smurf.
I think we'll just leave it there. I don't want to slut shame.
Smurfette, eh?
Mm.
Dirty little hoe.
Yeah. Creating those unrealistic fantasies in young boys' minds of a blonde chick with blue skin.
Yeah, but there was also something that always bothered me because I'm very into hierarchies.
Mm-hmm.
So Papa Smurf got to wear the red outfit. All the other Smurfs were wearing white. So it was clearly he was like the king of the Smurfs.
Right.
And only Smurfette had the long hair. Otherwise, they were indistinguishable from each other. How did they even know who the other – like – they all had names, but...
I think that's very Smurfist of you, Gareth.
They didn't know who was who.
Are you saying all Smurfs look the same? Because, I'm telling you, they were.
They did look the same.
Maybe to you, but if other Smurfs, they can...
The only distinguishing characteristic between... It was Papa Smurf's red outfit and Smurfette's long hair.
He had a beard as well.
He had a beard too, yeah. But that was it. There were no other differences.
There were plenty of differences were inside. You got to see hearts, not parts.
Oh, okay. Gord Laws, which smashed that song. Remember him singing the Rand Sentman song, best show in history. Smurfs and Minions. There's a comparison, Alex says. Minions are kind of like the Smurfs. Also, they're indistinguishable. Some of them, and you could argue.
No, some have got two eyes and one
some
eye.
Some have got one eye. But they all sound the same.
They're hilarious, though. The Smurfs weren't that funny.
Yeah, okay. Remember, Smurfette was created by Gargamel. Hey, Chomotso, you're getting deep into Smurfette lore here.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have the time for this.
Chomotso's got this.
Show us on the Smurf where they touched you.
Break out your 1985 Playboy with Smurfette as the centerfold.
All right, so what have we learned? We've learned that we had a better childhood than the kids do now.
I think every generation says that, except for the World War II generation, not so much.
Well, yeah, where's Daddy? On the front with fighting Hitler.
He's not coming home.
Where's Daddy? Killed in the trenches.
Enjoy your boiling sugar water with no sugar. There's a shortage.
Enjoy beetroot again for the 17th time this month. Oh, no, we've had a better time. We really have.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. That's what an absolutely bullshit 2 hours.
This is not what I expected to be talking about.
Chris Forrest is an absolute legend. Are you doing the comedy stuff?
I'm doing the comedy stuff.
Where are you doing some comedy stuff so we can come and see you?
So I'm doing a cool one this weekend at the Sky Hotel in Sandton called Jan Kruitman.
Okay.
So a guy called Tall Ass Mo's got all...
I love Tall Ass Mo. He was just on with Warris and PH.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got all the like old school guys. So it's me, Kagiso Ledicha, David Kaur, Ronnie Banimola, Kiki Dibuni Modlotsi, and then Tosh Matingozi. We're doing a show together.
That's like the... For me, that's a perfect lineup.
And it's going to be fun. It's like because we hardly work together.
That's fantastic. I would go through those names again. I love... Kagiso's fantastic.
Kagiso Ledicha, David Kaur.
There's Tall Ass, David Kao. I mean, these are like the OGs.
Yeah, well, that's the, yeah, so the Grootman show.
Amazing.
So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Sky Hotel in Sandton.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Do they have like an auditorium there or something?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's quite new. Then the 5th of April, I'll be in Durban for Kings and Queens of Comedy.
Excellent.
And then the 12th of April, the Joburg Kings and Queens of Comedy is at Empress.
Shit. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it's fun times.
Right.
Otherwise, well, if you live in Four Ways, Piccolino's on the 30th of April.
Even better.
I've got other gigs. Those are just the ones I can think of right now.
Okay. Yeah, but it's because of the cancer in the head.
Pretty much. I'm a survivor. I'm a cancer survivor.
You should use that. You should go up on stage and do like a whole long sob story. You know, and then completely change it up and keep referring back to like, well, it's still better than the cancer.
That might. I'll make that my catchphrase.
In honor of this show where you've revealed all. And he's got a giant fucking hole in his head. Anyway, it's so lovely to spend time with
Always
you.
Always good to be on
You
the
make
show.
Me laugh. You're just fantastically clever. You're fun to talk to. It's lots of fun. Thank you, dude.
Next time we'll talk about the teenage books.
No, I think we've done enough nostalgia.
Okay, good.
I think
all right.
this episode will go down in history as a nostalgia episode. Non-ironically.
Yes. We didn't even go. Remember when Trump used to just be a guy who built houses? Or
we didn't even talk about, we didn't talk politics. We didn't talk Trump. We didn't talk our Air Force, which only has 6 working planes. I'm very proud of us. Well done. None of that shit today. We had fun. Okay, ciao. See you on Friday. Oh, whoa, wait. Before we go, I'm not here on Friday because I've got to go to this thing in Cape Town and I'm not going to have signal and you're going to have to bear with me and you're lucky enough to have Simpiwe and Ben. And who else is going to be on there, James? No. Okay, so probably James. You'll make an appearance. I'm sure you will. You'll come up in the comments. All right, so that's all happening on Friday, and I'll be back on Monday next week. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Nice to see you, dude.
I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see. Someday I'll be part of your world. I'm